will bring the January 19th, 2022 Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors meeting to order. And this morning, Thomas, would you like to lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance this morning? May I get the board secretary to do a roll call of the board, please? Yes.
Director Record?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Corona?
Here.
Very good. And we'll note that we have Director Slauson and Corona joining us via phone this morning. We'll just make a special note that at 9:45 today, we are going to do our water champion award with Congressman Takano, so we will take a short break right before 9:45 to make sure that that is all in place. With that, Roxanne, do we have anybody wishing to do public comments or turn in a card this morning on any item?
No.
Very good. Now we'll go to item two, which is our special presentations, and that is the March Joint Powers Authority. And good morning, Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce Dr. Grace Martin. Dr. Martin is the executive director of the March Joint Powers Authority, where she oversees the administration and redevelopment of over 3,500 acres of property that was formerly part of the March Air Reserve Base. Dr. Martin has over 25 years of experience in community and economic development, and she has also served in the Army National Guard. Dr. Martin holds a Bachelor of Science degree from USC in urban planning. She also holds a Master's of Science degree in organizational leadership and management from the University of Laverne, and a doctorate in policy planning and development from USC as well. Yesterday, we had the pleasure to host Dr. Martin and her team for a briefing and tour of EMWD. We very much appreciated the exchange of information, and we look forward to her presentation this morning. With that, Dr. Martin.
Good morning and welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joe. Good morning, Chair and members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here presenting in front of you today, and it was also a pleasure to tour with your staff yesterday. We very much enjoyed their hospitality. My staff had fun at your desalination plant in Menifee because part of the facility reminded them of a brewery. So, of course, we enjoyed learning a lot about the process down there and all the amazing work that your staff does. Also wanted to point out we are a tenant in the Western Municipal Water District facility, so we were very proud to don our new swag bags, EMWD swag bags, when we returned to the office yesterday. Got a lot of funny looks from Western staff, but that's okay because we have a special heart place in our hearts for you guys. So this presentation is a very general overview of March. I actually worked for the March JPA for a little over 11 years. Now going on 12 as executive director, and a lot of what you'll see today is sort of a general overview. I understand you've received past presentations from our prior director, Dr. Kelly, and so hopefully you'll see some new things in this presentation. Perfect. So just as background, the March Air Force Base previously sat on 6,600 acres. It was realigned back in 1996. 4,400 acres were declared surplus. The March JPA inherited about 3,500 acres of those former military properties. Part of the properties went to Ben Clark Training Facility, the county's training facility out there near the cemetery, and part of it also went to a park for the city of Mobile. The purpose of the JPA is to create jobs because when the base realigned, we lost over 12,000 jobs in the region. So our main purpose is to restore those jobs back into the area, redevelop military properties, and then also protect the base. The Bays retain about 2,200 acres of properties around the flying facilities. We currently use their flying facilities through a joint use agreement with the Air Force. So we have a Marshall-LaPorte Airport Authority that manages our airport properties that Amazon flies out of, DHL flies out of. And so we also inherited public utilities from the Bays, so we have a public utility authority that we manage. And we also have our own land use authority, which means that we entitle our own properties, and we also issue permits for construction on our properties in partnership with private developers. So on the land use planning side, we generally form development agreements with major developers to redevelop properties. The March Life Care Campus, which you may be familiar with, in the base's old northeast corner where the old hospital used to be. This is a 236-acre medical campus that we entitled and approved back in 2010. If you go out there today, you'll see that there is not much happening in our northeast corner. The market's been pretty tough on this developer. But as part of our overall planning activities, what we do is we look at infrastructure around the base. March is over 100 years old, so they need a lot of help with infrastructure. So we tackled the Hecox Channel back in 2013, an $18 million project. Every time it rained, 5 to 10 year events, these are photos of the flooding that occurred on the base and neighboring properties around that channel. We partnered up with the military, Riverside County Flood Control, and also the city of Moval, and put in a concrete channel, which today protects over 400 homes in Marin Valley and commercial industrial properties near the base and also our military installations. Our largest and most successful development area is the Meridian Business Park, west of the 215 freeway. That area, it currently is being developed by the Lewis Group in partnership with Waypoint. They have an LLC called Meridian Park LLC, and so they are finishing up their development all west of the 215 freeway. What you'll see under construction if you're down on Van Buren Boulevard is what we call our South Campus. We have multiple industrial buildings, small business park, commercial developing. UPS is down there as well as Amazon. Amazon just had a last mile facility approved, so that's under construction. They anticipate that that campus will be completed in 3 years. Currently under plan is what we call our Upper Plateau. This is also known as our Bunker Hill. It's where the Air Force used to store their explosives, and we currently have a tenant that houses their fireworks up in those bunkers. They're called Pyro Spectacular, and they provide fireworks for Disneyland and other parks. This is a conceptual plan of an industrial business park that's planned up there. It's the closest to Riverside, so they're working with Riverside Parks and County Parks to design a 60-acre open and recreational space. There's also a lot of water facilities going on in this development, new water facilities, which will expand the district's plans for both Western and Met. K4 is an approximate 800,000 square foot facility that actually received approval for a turnout by Eastern, and so they're connecting into your facility on Cactus Avenue. The Lewis Company, who is the project proponent, is also installing a pressure reducing valve at the corner of Cactus Avenue and Riverside Drive, which will increase water capacity to the base and also our future medical campus area. And we're also working closely with your staff on the agreements pertaining to that project. The Lewis Group is also looking to construct a new commercial terminal at our airport. And this is a conceptual plan of that terminal, and this is done in conjunction with the base because, as I mentioned previously, we have joint use of their flying facilities, and so we do need concurrence from the Air Force in constructing this facility. And, you know, your staff will be receiving studies as it pertains to this facility because we will need to connect into some of your facilities off of Hecox Street. Other projects not done by the Lewis Company is Freeway Business Center, which is a 720,000 square foot warehouse just off of Alessandro, just north of the runway. And we also have a very proud tenant, the March Airfield Museum. I did this presentation once, and Jamil Dada noted that I missed mentioning the museum, so I'm including these photos for you. They very, very proud tenant of ours. They'll be there after we're gone. But they have over 90 historic aircrafts, over 300,000 artifacts. And in their courtyard, their entryway, they're actually working in partnership with Western for a demonstration garden for drought-tolerant species. And another picture of inside the museum, and they're constantly growing. Just south of the museum is the Hillwood Project that's currently under construction, so you'll see all that activity when you're driving north on the 215 freeway. As part of that development with Hillwood, and they're building a nearly 2 million square foot warehouse for Target. That will be completed this year. We anticipate that Target will occupy that building in October, November of this year. As part of that project, we are installing portions of what we call Lateral B. It's a flood control facility that's going to help protect the bays from all the flows from the National Cemetery and also of our golf course and our master development area, Meridian Business Park. Another fun fact about the March JPA, outside of development, we're also the grantee for Foreign Trade Zone 244. This zone allows users that import goods internationally to save funding monies on duties for imports. We move about $2.1 billion worth of goods through our zone, over about $125 million worth of merchandise that are also exported out of this region, and we're looking to expand that in the near future to include portions of Banning, Beaumont, and also expanding it south of Paris to include the city of Menifee. To date, we have successfully restored the number of jobs that were lost when the base was realigned. We've created over 12,000 jobs in our planning areas. We have over 7,000 more planned to come, and our developers have contributed millions of dollars to TUMF, Transportation Uniform Mitigation Fee, and also development impact fees as it relates to drainage and transportation, so we're very proud of that. We have over 1,000 acres of development left to be completed and that are not yet on the tax roll, but we anticipate that everything will be done in less than 10 years. Now, as it turns out, when the JPA was formed, there's a part of our agreement that states that we are a temporary agency, that we will sunset at some point in time as our commissioners decide. So this year, our commissioners voted to create, directed staff to create a 3-year sunset plan for the agency, which means that we would dissolve our land use authority, our public utility authority, and our successor agency. The only authority that they've agreed to remain in place to protect the base is our airport authority. These next photos are just items that we have to consider in the sunsetting efforts, our shared assessed values, all our redevelopment properties. We have to consider all the benefits to the member agencies to date. We also have to consider tax increment because we do not collect our own property taxes or sales taxes. All of that goes to the County of Riverside. So this is just a snapshot of what our member agencies have received from us to date. I presented two options to my commissioners about a month ago. Option one was a 3-year sunset plan that also considers the county splitting our tax increment 4 ways to the member agencies. This is just a snapshot of what that might look like if an agreement was in place. And this is what they would have gotten last year if they had an agreement in place. They would have gotten $2.2 million apiece for each of the member agencies. And mind you, this is just property taxes. It doesn't include sales tax or our TOT taxes. And then option two was if, you know, the member agencies desire to move forward with annexations up front, and staff anticipated an 8 to 19 year process. And of course, the commissioners did not vote for that option. So we are moving forward with a 3-year sunset plan. And there's a lot of construction going on. Again, 1,000 acres left over, and more conversations with your staff, because as these developments grow, we absolutely need more water infrastructure to support our businesses. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions.
First of all, thank you for being here today. That's an excellent presentation, and I know from personal experience, yes, Jamil always lets you know that the museum is there. I have no questions. It's a great presentation. I don't know if my fellow board members do.
No question. Just thank you for coming and doing the presentation. And we're an agency that doesn't promote development, but we certainly want to be there to service it. And we want to. I think we do a good job in that, and want to make sure that you consider us good partners in your efforts.
I don't have any questions either, but really appreciate the information and the presentation. It's really informative. Thank you.
Director Slauson or Director Cronin, any questions for our guest this morning?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have any questions either, but I really enjoyed the presentation. It was great.
All right. And in fact, I'll note that the general manager and I were at a public meeting about a week ago, and someone actually brought up, what's your interaction with March? And we do have a lot in common, so it's fortuitous that you were here today to share more with us. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you all. Again, we appreciate your partnership. Thank you.
Very good. With that, we will move on to our general manager's report.
Good morning again, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Subsequent to submitting my report, and early this morning, we found out some really good news. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has released its 2022 work plan. And included in that work plan is appropriation of $4.5 million for EMWD in support of our South Paris desalination program, specifically to advance a project to improve the brine pipeline access and also to advance our well siting study. So we're very pleased with the Army Corps' continued financial participation and partnership with EMWD. As you may recall, last year we exhausted the $25 million WARDA initial authorization, and we obtained an additional $25 million authorization. Today's announcement is the first tranche of that additional $25 million authorization that we secured last year. I want to express my appreciation to the entire team here at EMWD that worked to secure this appropriation, specifically Jolene Walsh, our advocacy team from Vince Koyak and Associates, and our entire engineering team, engineering services, engineering design. They all worked quickly together to put forward the request and advocate for EMWD. So much appreciated, and as I said, there'll be a press release and additional information forthcoming. Per my report, under new and ongoing items under non-functional turf legislative efforts, last week, as the board is aware, the governor released the 2022 state budget. Included within the budget was $75 million dedicated funding for turf removal. Although that appropriation doesn't necessarily address all of the non-functional turf in the state, it's an important signal by the state that investment and management of non-functional turf is a priority for this administration. And we have been key to that conversation and dialogue, and we're very proud of the leadership that the EMWD has advanced relative to advancing our efforts to manage non-functional turf. We continue to seek ways to elevate that conversation on non-functional turf. Some of the additional efforts that we're working on with the AQUA working group, which was established at our request, includes California's excluding turf removal rebates from being considered taxable income. We're working to have that be put forward, as well as education on inefficient irrigation practices, and clarifying local agencies' authority to adopt ordinances to ban non-essential water use, such as irrigating non-functional turf. Recently, State Senator Laird has invited EMWD to provide technical assistance to develop a policy proposal to complement the $75 million state's budget for turf removal. Our staff is actively developing the text in collaboration with the AQUA Working Group. In addition, staff is working on developing a draft resolution that we will bring forward for your consideration in the near future to direct us and empower staff to further pursue additional outreach, studies, and investments related to managing non-functional turf in non-residential areas. Also, under new and ongoing items, pleased to report that we have continued our dialogue with the County of Riverside specific to American Rescue Plan funding that may be available in support of infrastructure investments. Specifically, we have put forward a list of 10 EMWD infrastructure projects in Mead Valley, San Jacinto, Temecula, and other parts of our service area. We've also been informed that each of the County Board of Supervisors has approximately $14 million of ARPA discretionary funding. And we're negotiating the terms of the participation. We are hopeful that we can come to agreement with the county on a number of the projects, and we anticipate that county staff will bring forward their recommendations and propose interagency funding participation agreements to the Board of Supervisors in March, possibly earlier. We will keep the board updated as this item progresses. Also, under new and ongoing items, as you're aware, last month was a fairly heavy rain month. We received a significant amount of precipitation, which led to lower recycled water demands. Currently, our storage is at 74% of capacity. To minimize and potentially avert the discharge of recycled water, I have approved the suspension of allocation limits and a special discount rate for qualified agricultural customers as provided in EMWD's consolidated schedule of rates, fees, and charges, which hopefully will encourage our ag customers to increase their recycled water take during this low demand period. I should also note that we've offered the same discounted rate to Rancho California Water District, since per their contract with EMWD, they do have a provision to purchase additional excess water at the ag rate. These actions that I took and the special winter incentive rate will be in effect until the end of March, and we will keep you updated on where we stand with the storage. Currently, we anticipate we have approximately 10 days, maybe 14 days of storage remaining. But we have, over the last couple of days, we have seen our demand increase from 5 million gallons per day to around 10 million gallons per day. Under items of interest to the board, wanted to mention that on January 11th, we hosted the executive director of the Western Riverside Council of Governments, Mr. or Dr. Kurt Wilson, joined us here at EMWD, and we had the pleasure of hosting him and providing him a tour of our desalination facilities. As you're aware, we work closely with WRCOG, and we are committed to maintaining our longstanding partnership to serve the residents of Western Riverside County. Finally, under items of interest, I wanted to note that on January 31st, in coordination with Western Municipal Water District, Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District, and Rancho California Water District, there will be a meeting at Western's offices to discuss water resiliency and regional collaboration. President Pauly, Director Armstrong, and I will be attending that meeting, and we will be discussing various concepts to enhance the region's water supply, reliability, and resiliency. And from there, I believe that a subset of alternatives will be advanced for further evaluation. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Just a couple of comments. I'd offer my congratulations, too, to you and staff. I mean, the funding from Army Corps over the years has just been phenomenal. It's almost unbelievable. So
thank you.
That's really great. And also, you mentioned the resolution as far as, you know, non-functional turf irrigation, getting rid of that. And I think it's very appropriate. And I think we want to make sure that staff understands they have the power to, you know, think outside the box and do bring back to us whatever they think might work in that regard. So I look forward to that resolution come forward.
We appreciate the support, Dr. Record.
Directors Corona or Slauson, anything for the general manager?
No, just a very good report. Very good news, too. Thanks.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe, for that.
Thank you.
Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Nothing this morning.
Nick, anything this morning?
Yes, if I could. I've got a couple of brief updates. The first one is an update on the Fallbrook and Rainbow proposed detachment from the San Diego County Water Authority. The long-awaited Dr. Hanneman report final report has been released. So that's been released to the San Diego LAFCO. The report, we've just received it, so we're reviewing it, but I've had a look at it, and it pretty much looks like that the draft in addressing the three questions that LAFCO posed to Dr. Hanneman is rate impacts to the San Diego County Water Authority member agencies, potential exit fee for Fallbrook and Rainbow, and then water reliability. Obviously, we've been very much engaged on the water supply and reliability matter. Not really a lot of change from the analysis and feedback and the discussions that we've had over the many, many months with Dr. Hanneman. Dr. Hanneman's been focused really on metropolitan water reliability versus San Diego County Water Authority reliability, because Fallbrook and Rainbow will continue to get met water directly from the Metropolitan Water District. It appears that he's not coming out with any definitive conclusion or assessment, but he appears to be giving the edge to the San Diego County Water Authority based on the simple fact that they have QSA water that he identifies as superior water rights on the Colorado River. So we're reviewing that report. The ad hoc advisory committee of LAFCO that was to take place last month obviously was canceled and postponed. I'm anticipating that will be rescheduled probably mid-late February, where Dr. Hanneman will have an opportunity to walk through the details of his report. San Diego LAFCO staff will then take that into consideration as they formulate any presentation recommendation to the commission at some future date. I anticipate that it might be a month or two after the ad hoc advisory committee. So the process is moving forward at this point, and we'll report back as we get more detail and as we are part of that conversation at the ad hoc advisory committee. I have one other update, if I could, and that's with regards to the City of Paris's water and sewer systems that we are engaging with the city to look at a potential consolidation of their systems. As you'll recall, last board meeting, you approved an MOU, which would allow us to engage with city staff to do an exploratory assessment of that possibility. Designated Director Armstrong and Director Slauson as Eastern's representatives on an ad hoc committee to help oversee that process. The city has appointed Mayor Michael Vargas and Council Member Rita Rogers to that committee. So we've reached out to the city with all of that in place, and Thursday of next week at a staff level we'll be meeting with the city to really just make sure we're on the same page as the tasks and efforts and the contacts that we'll be working with as we kind of explore aspects of this. And then with that discussion and once we're all on the same page, I envision soon thereafter we'll schedule our first ad hoc advisory kickoff meeting, date and time to be determined. That's my update. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Nick? All right, thank you. Lanai, anything this morning?
Yes, one item this morning, President Pauley. Over the last several months, our grants and loans team has been working with the state to increase our Prop 1 funding for our Paris North Basin Groundwater Contamination Prevention Program. This is really to reflect current market conditions as well as anticipated cost. And last week, we were informed that at the staff level, the state has approved an additional $5 million for the program. And they've also expressed a willingness to continue to work with us as actual cost comes in. And in other words, as our bids come in for program elements and have expressed a commitment to maintaining the 50-50 match as much as possible. So more to come on that. But at this point, we have secured an additional $5 million for the program.
Excellent news. Very good. Appreciate that very much. With that, we will go to our consent calendar. And I understand, Director Slauson, you would like to have a separate vote on item D. Is that my understanding?
Yes, that would be D and E.
D and E. I apologize.
Do we have any other members that have separate votes or conflicts or questions on the consent calendar? Director Armstrong.
Yeah, I would just like to vote on item B separately.
Okay. Does anybody else have any concerns or questions? So why don't we go ahead and take the consent calendar minus items B, D, and E. So that is a vote on items A, C, and F. And I will make a motion to do so.
Second.
Second by Director Record. May I get a vote, roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. With that, why don't we do a vote on item B? And do you have any, do you want a presentation or just a separate vote?
Just a separate vote.
Okay. If, does we have a motion on item B?
Move approval.
By Director Record. I will second on item B. And can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
No.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
And that passes on a vote of 4-1. If we could then, Director Slauson, why don't you put yourself on mute, if you could. I think that's our new procedure.
Okay.
And we will take up then items D and E. Does anybody have any questions, or can I look for a motion?
Make that motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong, a second by Director Record. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating in the vote. Very good, Director Slauson, and welcome to rejoin us. Why don't we go ahead on our action calendar and take item A? And Thomas, if we could do that right up to about the 9:45 hour, if we could, that would be great. Item A is to adopt a proposed resolution of issuance of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District, acting as the legislative body of the Community Facilities District 216-74. Menifee Town Center Improvement Areas A and D, authorizing issuance of 2022 special tax bonds and approving bond documents as to form. Good morning, Thomas.
Morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Thankful for the opportunity to be here today, present this item for board consideration. This item is related to a bond issuance for two improvement areas of CFD number 2016-74, Menifee Town Center. The CFD was formed in 2016 with four total improvement areas for the purpose of financing district water and sewer improvements, City of Menifee improvements, and school district fees. Improvement Area B is authorized to issue up to $6 million, and Improvement Area D is authorized to issue up to $9 million. Bonds for the other two improvement areas were issued in 2020 and 2021, and today's bond issuance for consideration will be the final bond issuance for this CFD. The CFD is located in Director Armstrong's division in the City of Menifee as part of the city's Menifee Town Center Master Plan, about a mile west of the 215 freeway. The two improvement areas are shown in this map on this slide in yellow. Improvement Area A is to the left of Improvement Area B, and then to the right of that is Improvement Area C. Both developments are developed by Lennar Homes. First, I'll highlight a couple things about Improvement Area B, and then on the next slide, I'll discuss Improvement Area D. Improvement Area B consists of approximately 20 gross acres and encompasses 218 homes. The development is substantially developed with just a few remaining to be sold. With the date of November 17th, the appraised value came in at just over $85 million. Improvement Area D also shows similar development progress with just a few remaining to be sold. This development, approximately 34 gross acres, encompassing 155 homes. The appraised value for this project, also at the same data value, came in at just about $73.6 million. Both appraisals were conducted by Stephen G. White, one of the district's approved appraisers. The appraised value results in a very healthy value-to-lien ratio, 14 to 1 and 11 to 1, greatly exceeding the district's 4 to 1 requirement. After 1 year of taxes being levied for Improvement Area B, delinquencies are 0%. This year was the first year Improvement Area D was levied, and we haven't received delinquency information yet from the county, as there's only been one cycle of collections. The effective tax rate for Improvement Area B and D is 1.65 and 1.7, respectively. And as I mentioned on the couple slides before, the number of lots are in compliance with the district's debt policy. Bonds in the future may only be issued for refunding purposes only. And the table at the bottom of this slide summarizes the projected par amount and the estimated bond proceeds. The TIC is estimated at 3.28%. Seen a little bit of market movement as far as rates go. Current estimates show, just a 1 basis point increase to 3.29%. These will be priced in a couple weeks, well ahead of any anticipated increase to interest rates. Many of the members of the financing team are on the call with us today. Also in person, we have Anna Sarabian from Fieldman, the district's land secured municipal advisor. Just want to express my appreciation for her team and the support that they've provided the district, as well as the rest of the financing team. We wouldn't be able to do this without their support, and their effort is appreciated.
And if I could just chime in real quick, I do appreciate you being here today. I'm always pleased when we have consultants come and join our board meeting for questions. So thank you.
The team will be available to answer any questions, and I'll wrap this up here in just a minute. As far as scheduling goes, last week we wrapped up the due diligence call with the underwriter and the developer. Today we're looking for board approval, and it will be followed by the posting of the POS tomorrow. Current schedule indicates pricing on the 3rd of February and then closing the transaction a couple weeks later, and we're currently on schedule for that. With that said, staff recommends the board to adopt the proposed resolution authorizing the issuance of the bonds, authorize the general manager, the executive team to effect issuance of the bonds, and then also to approve the related bond documents that have been included as exhibits in the staff report. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and as I mentioned, the team is also available to answer any.
Good. Do we have any questions on this item by any members of the board? Very good. Thank you, sir, for that. I will look for a motion and a second on the item.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
A motion by Director Corona.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
And that passes on a vote of 5-0. We have 5 minutes until we're going to do our presentation. 2 minutes. Why don't we take about a 2-minute break before our presentation?